Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how recessions weed out unnecessary businesses. And if you listen to yesterday's show, we will resolve the mystery, apparently. The mystery in this title.
Don't worry, it's not you. We don't mean you are unnecessary or your business is unnecessary. It's a bigger thing.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
I hope I pay more truth time. It's your turn to do truth time.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, don't hold back on that. I love the truth time concept.
That's funny. Okay. Lucas wrote, "Hi, folks. I'm scrubbing my data on a county, and I was looking at historical sales prices. There is a pretty wide range from $300 all the way up to $800,000. I was thinking of cutting out all the properties with historical sales prices above a certain threshold. $30,000 as an upper limit, for example. Many of the properties don't have historical sales prices in the data, so I'll leave those alone. Does this make sense? Am I missing out on big cash opportunities by omitting these properties? Or is it practical to assume that they won't be good offers? My gut tells me to delete them from the data. Thanks. This is all you."
This is really, really important. And Lucas is relatively new, I think. He's pretty vocal in Land Investors, and I appreciate that. This is a huge issue. The issue is this. What he's saying is this. If I go into a zip code in a rural county, specifically in a rural county, and I look at all the property that's there, all the land, vacant land, and I look at all the historical prices and I narrow it down to, let's say, a zip code, because the more narrow you can get geography-wise, theoretically, the more accurate the pricing's gonna be. Because if you look at any county or any zip code, there's expensive areas, there's cheaper areas. There's waterfront property, there's property that's on a county road, and on and on and on. There's things that make properties more expensive based on attributes or less expensive. So it's hard to do that when you're staring at data in a spreadsheet. It's hard to get a real average, is what I mean. And so he's asking about this. He says, "What should I cut off the tip top? Should I cut off the bottom? Kind of go with that center bell curve average and get it all out there? Or should I just start really surgically cutting out properties?" Which leads me to the two theories there are two theories about pricing mail campaigns: the shotgun approach and the rifle approach. We exclusively use the rifle approach for sending out mail to houses, because houses, we have all these algorithms from Redfin and Trulia and all these other places that say the house is worth 120, 130, 140, 99, and you average those out and you've got a real good offer price, and then you take some money off of that. Real simple stuff when you send out a mailer. You can try to do that, which is alluding to here, for land. But here's the problem. You just don't have enough data for land. You just don't, because it's not an active market. Properties aren't people aren't buying and selling properties the way that they do houses. It's just the velocity of the whole industry is a lot slower. So here's the answer. He's asking, do you delete the top and the bottom? And the answer is yes, but not seriously. You take the top two or three, because there are anomaly weird things like $25 million in a rural, come on, it's a clerical
something
error.
Wrong.
Or 000, which is usually nonprofits, that's gonna skew your stuff, you take that out. Or real, real low numbers and real high numbers, you omit that. Then, that's not enough. Then, you gotta go in and test it, and I can't emphasize this enough. So when you're done and you sit back and you say, $1,582 an acre for this zip code in this county is correct. Take a break, have a cup of coffee, come back to your desk, and start test 10 or 20 of the properties as if you were buying them, as if somebody signed the letter, signed the offer, sent it back to you and said, "I'm ready to do this deal, thanks." Are you gonna jump up and down out of your chair and say, "Oh, this is exactly the kind of deal that I want"? A. B, are you gonna say, "Wow, I overshot this. I sent it, it's too high. I actually don't want to buy it. I'm going to send Joe back in and try to renegotiate it"? You don't want that, believe me. For social reasons in my world, you don't want that.
That's definitely truth time.
Or number three, you know, he sent the person a ridiculously low offer, like $600 for a property that's worth $30,000 or $40,000. That's not going to get anybody's interest. They're just crumple it up and throw it away.
Right.
So there's an art to this, and all this leads me to this point. There are these pricing mechanisms out there that people are coming up with.
I was going to ask that exact thing. Do those work?
No.
Thank you.
No, you have to look at this like a human. You can automate a lot of this. I'm a huge, like, we have a macro that weeds out properties that are owned by the USA and owned by any, the city of and the county of. Macros that can really make your life easy. What you can not automate is pricing. You have to human test it at the end.
Thank you.
It's a very, very intelligent. Lucas, whoever you are going to be fantastic at this. Every once in a while, somebody asks questions that are crazy intelligent. I can just tell how you're thinking about this and how you want to price these mailers. Your soul's in the right place.
Yep. It's good.
Today's topic, recessions weed out unnecessary businesses. This is why you're listening.
By the way, did I mention I'm in the John Deere Club?
No. What's that all about?
Apparently.
Of all the people. What's the John Deere Club?
I'm like a John Deere. It's not like you're a frequent shopper. It's a land thing. I hit whatever threshold.
This is some classic stuff.
I'm realizing, like, what's going on here? And it has to do with some of my. I'm in the heavily into the whitetail properties community, working with these brokers. That it's right about the time that I get now. I get like the VP or the CEO or somebody reaching out to me, and don't think I'm not going to write him back, by the way, because I am going to. I just haven't figured out what I want to talk to him about, because how big I want to take this with him. But anyway, about the time I started getting his emails, I'm like, these John Deere things are popping up, and then I'm getting all kinds of deals, and I have all these points in there. So apparently, with my relationship with Whitetail Properties, I am the lucky recipient of like John Deere gold level stuff.
So you hit the threshold of probably selling a bunch of property through them?
I guess.
And they made you an
honorary member. I'm a John Deere. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So I haven't got my free hat and t-shirt yet, but when I do, I'm going to wear it proudly.
So what do you get? You get
I get discounts. Yeah, I got like, do you want to ride on mower? I can get one at a great price.
If we had grass.
I know.
Get 10% off a combine.
I'm still learning what all are their other perks. I'm just saying, I'm
you proud gotta of send you a hat.
I'm proud of my John Deere reward status. You know, I'm the only girl I know that has that.
That is pretty badass. Really, it is. What other clubs are you in?
That's a good one. That's funny. Well, I'm in the Nordstrom.
Nordstrom Rack Club.
Yep. I'm in that one too. Those are my two biggies. Let's just go with that.
The John Deere Club and the Nordstrom Rack. Boy, that's going to confuse Google. They're not going to know
what to send my way. That's awesome.
That's outstanding.
That's cool. Thank you very much. All right. So we were talking about this a little bit at the end of the show yesterday. I know what this means.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll let you explain what it means. What I was explaining is what it doesn't mean. You are not an unnecessary business. And
no, geez.
And you're not going to be weeded out in this recession. It's for me, it's the opposite. Because what's happening, in case you hadn't noticed, if you kind of look around, I think everybody notices here. It's pretty hard not to go on any selling site when I'm talking houses primarily, like not just houses, but I mean, if you go on Zillow, Redfin, Trulia, whatever, all you see is pending, sold, contingent. It's pretty easy to see what's happening. Take it away.
Do we need Sears?
Oh.
Do we need Kmart and Walmart and Target, all of them? Do we? They all make, Sears has never met, JCPenney. They've been teetering on bankruptcy. Most of them have already filed some type of reorganization bankruptcy.
Right.
Do we need these companies? No. No. This is all some propped up Wall Street thing. Recessions weed out unnecessary businesses. Do we need all these restaurants that are always constantly teetering on not making money that month? You know, 1% margins, 2% margins. Before the COVID, Target announced their earnings and it was 3%. 3% profit.
Before the COVID?
Yeah.
What is it now?
In the healthiest day. I don't know. Oh. I didn't look because I know how that's going to end.
Oh, okay.
The last recession around between 2008 and 2011, there are tons in Phoenix. Jill and I were in Phoenix buying and selling property. And probably 50 to 80% of the people in the real estate business, specifically contractors, were gone. They were weeded out.
That's true.
They couldn't handle it. They couldn't take it. They couldn't. It was that volatile and that fragile. So really think about this for a second. And this topic came up again out of an interview that we did with a couple of guys in our group, because they have a podcast, because they were experiencing single points of failure in their other online businesses where Google would change some stuff overnight, and all the work that they did for a year about selling a specific product was just no longer ranking at all. That's so fragile. You know, do they deserve to be weeded out? Yeah. Yeah, they deserve, and I'm not picking on these guys because they're good guys, they're smart, and they're rebounding. They're doing in the end, they didn't get weeded out. Mm-hmm. They adjusted and sold and did through a different venue and a bunch of stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is Darwinism on Wall Street. If it's that fragile, if your business, and I don't mean your land business, but I'm talking to the CEO of Target, Dayton Hudson, is that fragile? Or if it's never made any money ever and you're just playing a house of cards game on Wall Street so you can have stock options, which is really what's going on with a lot of like Uber Eats and Uber. None of those companies make money at all and they never will. They're set up to fail. They're just there to create shareholder wealth.
So you're not saying in general you don't deserve to be here.
I'm saying make it count.
Okay.
I'm saying.
I know that. I'm not.
Let me finish here.
Okay, sorry.
These same two guys that interviewed us, what they said was, The business type that you two have set up is the best business model they've ever seen.
Type.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Think about this for a second, the anatomy of a land company. You start out, you have a little bit of money, maybe you have a money partner, or you have a partner that does the side of the operations that you don't want to handle, whether it's the data part or the operation sales. You've lost nothing yet. You don't have any fixed costs. You don't have any variable costs from an accounting standpoint. You go and buy a piece of property, you send out a mailer, you've lost nothing yet, maybe a couple $1,000 into this whole thing, which sounds like a lot, but in the scheme of things, it's not. You have all these opportunities now sitting on your desk to buy. You pick the best one, the one that you know you're going to make $10,000 or $20,000 on, and you do it. What have you really risked? Nothing. There's no risk in this business. Mm-hmm. The risk is that you're not going to follow through and you're going to get distracted by something else or something else your life is going to happen, and that's it. Mm-hmm. When you think about these companies that are just competing with each other,
yeah.
You know, there's 19 restaurants all competing with each other in a row.
Isn't that amazing?
And something like this
happens.
Hoping
that people are going to walk up Pier Avenue and walk into their door and not this other door. That's scary.
Right. If it's that fragile where
your
revenue gets cut off by 40% because of some COVID thing, or if you as a person forget about companies and weeding out unnecessary businesses, if you have, as a person, have a single job and four or five people at home that are depending on you, and your job has a single point of failure, like a COVID, a non-COVID proof scenario, that's a very scary position to be in. And I think that everybody that listens to this show, and it's definitely who's in our group, they're very intelligent people. Please don't put yourself in a point where you have a single point of failure. Personally or from a job standpoint. Recessions weed out unnecessary businesses.
What would you say would be a way to diversify in our world?
Well, if you have a job, I know there's a lot of people that are doing very well, not well, they're not as affected by this environment because they can work at home. And those are usually people that, you know, that are whatever they're doing at work, they don't have to touch it or make it or serve somebody.
It's online stuff.
And it's a vast majority of the people are unaffected by this. It's shocking how many people can actually work at home now. And now the kids aren't going back to school in general. So people are making decisions about where to move. So what was the question? What?
How would you, so you're, we're talking about in our world, what's the best way that you would tell our community to diversify?
It's a classic diversification discussion. Don't send mail to one place, send it to five places. Don't have a single point of sales failure. You know, it almost sunk my ship before Jill. All we were doing was selling property on eBay. So you need to sell it in multiple venues. Don't, from an employee standpoint, don't, you know, I've made this mistake in the past too. Don't let one person have so much control that they come to work with a new attitude about how they're going to tell you how it goes. So there's, it's all,
it wasn't me.
Classic, no, this is before Jill. Classic diversification discussion. You know, if you have a job, keep your job. If you have a job that's paying the bills, keep your job. Do this stuff on the side until you're completely and totally convinced that this is for you and it's cash flowing. And
you're losing money because your job's holding you back.
Yeah, you're losing money at your W-2 job.
Yeah.
I think there, this, and this is a personal note now, this is what this show is really about for me. There's too much weakness and potential to fail in over-financed and over-leveraged and over-structured companies. And it's like every day we turn on the news and it's like, well, JCPenney's here. I get it. I don't know. I get it in my feed probably because I read this stuff. But here's a list of 10 name brand drugstores that are not going to make it through the COVID. Is it that fragile?
No.
You know? Is what you do so full of risk and competition and ways to fail that, you know.
Please tell me that Nordstrom and John Deere are going to be okay.
But I'm sure those two brands.
Okay.
I don't know about Nordstrom at all, but I'm very, very confident John Deere and Caterpillar are going to be fine.
Okay. Oh, I got to get in the Caterpillar Club. All right, that's next. All right, I'm getting in. If someone knows of it, let me know and sign me up, please. I want to be in the Caterpillar Club now, too.
You know, we can learn a lot from this stuff. You know, this isn't the funniest, happiest show we've ever done, but it's real.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Happy you could join us today. Monday through Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Qualified Sellers Will Call You in Droves. Cold calling is dead. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I picked that topic.
Yes.
Because I saw somebody going down that path, and I wanted to save them before they sunk hours and hours and hours and hours and hours into that and remind them there's a better way.
I can't wait to hear that story.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button helps to support our channel's algorithms and gauge your interest in our future shows. You know me, it's all about the data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.